You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
Good morning, Gamecock fans. Today's Monday, March 23rd, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with JC Sherbert. Hope you're doing well today. Quite a weekend in Gamecock land, to say the least. So, got a lot to get to today. We're going to kind of try to roll through it. It is Monday. That means Meatloaf Monday on the show. But, that's probably not going to be as exciting as the morning show today. Monty Lee, the interim head baseball coach at the University of South Carolina, will join Jamie Bradford for a chat. My understanding is this is maybe something you can get used to while Monty Lee's leading the program, just to come in and talk with JB. It's always a great baseball conversation when JB is part of it, and certainly good to have Coach Lee on to talk about what happened this weekend. It's a fascinating weekend on the baseball diamond. So to get right to that, and Rob Williams and I had an emergency / special podcast. You know, you call them emergency pods, but I don't know. It's sports. Is it really an emergency? I'm not sure. But we dropped that over the weekend when Paul Maneri, the news came out on Saturday that Maneri was fired, or I'm sorry, that they mutually agreed to part ways. You know, best move, obviously. I've been talking about it. I even said, like, if you want to salvage this season, you need to do it quickly. The team program, I always talk about team program job. What was happening with him leading it was program damaging, you know, which could in turn hurt your ability to attract someone good to take the job. You know, the Charlotte game, that was a kind of a light hitting team that came in. Heck, they lost to my alma mater, USC Upstate, the next day. They come in, put a 7 spot on the Gamecocks, win 11-8. You know, I'll let Bradford get into the details as to what happened between that game and the Arkansas game, but whatever buttons were being pushed were not the right buttons because they had a very uncompetitive 22-6 loss. And you just can't have that. I mean, that's not what this program's all about. Arkansas came into the game, really, and we saw it for the rest of the weekend. Arkansas's not – they should be a better hitting team than they are from what I thought they had some studs in their lineup. But they played like it Friday night, but then I think we saw that they're not really this big bash and score kind of team. You know, there's some teams like that around the league. Georgia comes to mind. God, Gamecocks have them this weekend. But it's 22 runs, and it's just not competitive at all. And it's a Friday night. And I think everybody just about had enough at that point. So, you know, there was a meeting Saturday morning, and the change was made. I've got to give a lot of credit to Athletic Director Jeremiah Donati. I always talk about a lot what athletic directors do. And what he did is what athletic directors are supposed to do. Last year, Paul Maneri in his first year, look, there was a reason to move on last year. You know, John Whittle's article, you know, we'll talk about that maybe a little today, was enough to say, all right, this is not good. But, you know, you had an AD in his first year, you had a Hall of Fame, and Maneri will still go in the Hall of Fame. I think part of it was, and he probably got out before his legacy was really tarnished. I mean, this is a great program, and, you know, it's clear that he was kind of past his prime, and it was kind of sad in a lot of ways. But that was enough to move on, but you got a new AD, new coach. If the buyout, I don't know that the buyout in baseball has ever been prohibitive, but, you know, and then there's the case of, well, he got there, he's hired a little late, and most of the roster was intact. So that was, I thought it was an excuse, but, you know, so give him some more money, and they did a lot of it. And see what he can do. 28 new players. They felt good about it. Felt good about the where they were at. Thought they'd be very competitive. And then it was worse. And so at that point, if you're the AD, okay, so what ADs are supposed to do is put their resources in place, do everything you can to support your coaches to win. And then if they don't win, you fire them. That's it. That's their job. It's not to meddle. It's not to tell them who to hire on staff, but give them the resources. And if you look, for those of you that are, you know, and look, I think there was a case to be made for a change in basketball. But I also think that in basketball, and I got some basketball to get to here in a second, that in men's basketball, that, you know, if you kind of look at the resource allocation for that program, you can't really say and be intellectually honest that you've done all you can. And so fair enough. I mean, agree to disagree that there should have been a change made. And we all hope Lamont Paris with improved resources does well. I mean, nobody wants to keep losing in that sport. It sucks watching March Madness every year without your team, right? It's only happened 6 times in 50 years. So, you know, there seems to be a commitment financially to sit there and invest in the program finally. And we'll see what happens, because you're going to have to invest if you change coaches anyway. So, but, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. And a lot was given to Paul Maneri, and it got worse, and you couldn't wait. You couldn't wait. I thought it showed decisive leadership on the part of Jeremiah Donati. To this point, you just didn't know. He hadn't made a lot of changes. I mean, he made a really interesting change with beach volleyball. Got rid of the old coach was kind of winning, but then he hired like the Dawn Staley of beach volleyball. Check into that guy sometimes, and they're winning too. But that's it, you know, and building the stadium and stuff. And, you know, he's not as well known as Ray Tanner. And, you know, when Eric Hyman was here, he had to be kind of forward facing. And then Mike McGee was kind of the godfather and was everywhere. But Donati's kind of a different type of operator, not very public facing in a lot of ways. But hey, I'm here for it. That's a great move. And it's the type of move that we're not really accustomed to around here at South Carolina. You know, where it's always hurry up and wait on a lot of things, that where when something's obvious. I still remember Dave Odom getting too long and Darren Horn getting too long. And I could have made a case, as much as it broke my heart, for a change in 2019 after Muschamp, because I knew that wasn't the type of hire where people were just going to accept like a couple of bad years. And sure enough, the next year he was out. And I say all the time with Muschamp, I'm glad it didn't happen because of COVID and everything that went down. And, you know, you're sitting there with everybody at that time being able to opt out and all that good stuff. And you've got a new head coach there that doesn't have a relationship with the players. And Will held it together. You know, that 2020 season was bad. But a lot of the players that ended up winning games for Shane Beamer stuck with it, you know, because of what he did during that very challenging time, to say the least, in their country's history. and so, you know, it all worked out at the end of the day there. But you know, there's frustration, you know, around here, especially after the Paris thing. And you know, we're not accustomed to, when something's obvious, there's quick, decisive action being made. But that was quick and decisive. And, you know, and look, if they want to say they mutually agreed to part ways, that's fine. I'm not going to challenge that or say anything different. Now, obviously, it takes two to tango. I don't know that, you know, I think someone in leadership at South Carolina had to say, hey, look, we need to just, you know, this can be all of our ideas, and let's do it, basically. And I'm not saying he was fired. I mean, we got to toe the the company line with that, because, you know, when you mutually agree to something, sometimes you can negotiate the buyout, right? So you mutually agree is fine. But hats off to Jeremiah and Adi for doing that. This fan base is hungry for things like that. And I'm not saying, I'm not giving in to the folks that want to fire everybody after. I mean, there's Florida fans that want to fire Todd Golden this morning. you know, don't, I'm not giving in to that part of it. But at that point, I mean, when everybody's saying, look, it needs to happen. It needs to happen now. When David Cloninger saying it needs to happen, and everybody, and I'm not saying that somebody like Dave doesn't have strong opinions on things and all that, but it's pretty much universal by everyone that knew baseball that there needed to be a change, and it needed to happen. You couldn't just play out the string and say, oh, that's baseball. It can turn. That's true in that sport, but there's just no evidence, like I said. So hats off. I mean, just great job, Jeremiah Donati. And as things like this pop up during his tenure as the South Carolina AD, we're going to learn more and more about him in this department, because we just didn't know. He's been here a year, and, you know, other things have taken priority. And if you look at kind of the track record, now Paris has more resources. Shane Beamer has about $10 million worth of new coaches that they got. They were fully funded with the portal and NIL, you know, so time to win. And that's what a good AD does. So, hey, look, I wasn't going to sit here and be a hypocrite about that. So hats off to him. But Maneri's out. Monty Lee takes over. Monty Lee hasn't even practiced with the team. Different energy with the baseball team. Saturday, you know, we've talked about all the reasons why the baseball team is struggling. Saturday was like, I hate to say this, because this has happened this year where there's really been like tangible reasons for the struggles. Like with football, clearly the offensive coordinator and whatever they were trying to do on offense just was a disaster. They couldn't score. Right. Defense, as hard as it played and as resilient and opportunistic as the defense was at times, they just couldn't score. That was a disaster on offense. Disaster. And they just, you know, they hired kind of Shula, just didn't have it. You know, kind of like Maneri. Now, there are other things with Maneri that you couldn't really compare him to Shula. Shula, really good person, good dude, all that. And I'm not saying Paul Maneri wasn't. Paul Maneri is just kind of an old school coach. Mike Shula gets along great with his players and relates to players and stuff. He's just an old school offense. How about that? And that can get you beat. But, you know, you kind of look at that. You look at basketball, and the roster obviously was a disaster by comparison. You know, there's tangible reasons. But then there's also these things called I call them chicken curse moments. Think about this, folks. Three different times this year when you thought, hey, things are going to change, right? And there's three moments. Number one, Lenore Sellers' fumble against Alabama. Kind of unprecedented. You know, Sellers had a fumbling problem in 2024. Didn't really have it this past year. Didn't carry it like a loaf of bread, you know? All of a sudden, he's on the pile. He thinks he's down. The Bama kid knocks it out. Bama goes down the field, wins the game. And Carolina's driving at least to take it to overtime and had them beat the University of Alabama at home. So it's your best player making a critical mistake in a critical moment. Take it to basketball, Virginia Tech. Season's still not gone, folks. They had lost to Butler and Northwestern, but Virginia Tech ended up winning 19 games, and they were on the wrong side of the bubble for the tournament out of the ACC, which was much improved this year. Carolina's got the ball. Plenty of time. Could go and score. Meechie Johnson, for some reason, just a mistake. Again, Carolina's best player, or one of them. I think basketball is clear. Meechie was the best player. Dribbles out the time, and that's it. Go to overtime and lose. Then there's Saturday. KJ Scobie, one of the best players on the team. I know he's committed some errors. The game is over. It's a ground ball. You know, he's just kind of got off of it. Didn't set his feet. He had time to do it. And it's 2-1, and he airmails it. And Arkansas scores. And then they score another run to win Saturday's game and spoil what would have been an unprecedented win for Monty Lee and the baseball program, because your coach gets fired in the morning. Or I'm sorry, kind of quit saying that. Your coach leaves and, you know, there's a coaching change in the morning. You got to play a game at 4 o'clock. So Arkansas's fourth ranked team in the country, you know, Amp Phillips, Alex Valentin, they deserved a better fate. Arkansas's pitching's really, really good. Carolina struck out 16 times. And so you think at that point, well, gosh, how much can these guys take? How much can they take? Okay, so Sunday happens. And I'll be honest, I thought, man, Brandon Stone's going to have to go 9 innings. He didn't. Because I was like, they had another lefty on the hill. Arkansas did, who had a 1.95 ERA coming in. And you know what, folks? It was like old school Carolina baseball. One thing Tanner did, don't get swept on Sunday. That was one thing he said. And it felt that way. Okay, well, and if you notice, Monty Lee, the first time he talked to the media, said the words "win anyway" over and over. And guess what they did? 9-4. Carolina hit the ball. They hit 4 home runs. Where'd that come from? Jake Randolph hit 2 of them. He had 3 for the weekend. Wow. You know, Tyler Bach looked like old Tyler Bach from the beginning of the year. We've seen that from time to time. They didn't even have Patrick Evans yesterday. He was a late scratch because of an injury. And Will Craddock, who did have a double, you know, he's finding his way with SEC pitching. He'll get back there. And they won 9-4, kind of going away. Good approach at the plate. Got into Arkansas's bullpen a little bit. I'll be honest, in the 9th inning, with Parker Mullott on the hill, and it was good to see him come back, man. You know, that's a guy that's pitched in pressure situations, right? Where's he gone? What's happened to him? He gets in, shuts him down, strikes him out, wins the game. Couldn't be happier for those players and for Coach Lee and everyone involved. That was Gamecock baseball. Now, what's going to happen? I don't know. Who's going to be the head coach next year? I don't know. I like what I hear so far with the candidates being thrown around. It's a lot better than, you know, the normal old candidates list you hear. And I do think that, you know, if Monty, people are going to ask about, well, is Monty Lee going to be a candidate for the job? Yeah. But he's got to win. I mean, in any interim situation, you know, this early, it's your audition. And so we'll see what happens with all that. But the Gamecocks have North Carolina in the game in Charlotte. They always play 6:30 tomorrow night. Well, so we'll see what happens there. But certainly a great Sunday for the Gamecocks in that regard. It just kind of felt like old times, man. And even if it's just for a moment, the fan base deserves that. I mean, SEC wins have been hard to come by, man. You know, you take them. And Arkansas is really good. I think Arkansas is a good team. That pitching staff's, you get them into a regional College World Series type of thing. They've got some arms. They got the arms to do it. A little surprised about their hitting, to be honest. But we'll see. The team they got, the Gamecocks have this weekend, Georgia, they don't have any problems hitting the baseball. So it's down at Foley Field in Athens, which could be a launching pass. They're going to need those guys to continue to hit home runs, the Gamecocks, I think. But I'll say this, just wrapping it up on baseball, because, you know, other than the intangible stuff that, you know, we're all happy about, I think that you got to have Josh Gunther be more consistent with his starts. He's way up and down. If he can be like the good Josh Gunther, and Amp Phillips can continue to do what he's doing, and then Brandon Stone ends up being that Sunday starter, or Alex Philpott, who looked okay, you know, second time out, third time out, or whatever, then, you know, I think Carolina's got the pitching. And then everybody in the lineup at some different point has done something good. You know, so they all kind of got it back there. You know, you have a chance. The problem is, you got all these top 10 teams, top 20 teams coming up. You know, you look through the coming games. I think if Carolina can kind of maybe scratch out a 500 record and then go to Missouri, you're going to have to sweep somebody to get back on the right side of it. And there's an opportunity, but it's out there. We kind of know Carolina struggled out there. But hey, Monty, it's a new Monty Lee's coaching. So maybe Monty Lee doesn't struggle at Missouri. I don't know, but we'll see. We'll see what happens with baseball moving forward. Women's basketball 103-34 over Southern. They will play the Southern California Trojans at 8 tonight on ESPN in the Battle of USC. The winner goes to the Sweet 16. Gamecocks will get a rematch with Oklahoma in a revenge game if they win. Softball, unfortunately, lost 2 of 3 to LSU. They have Clemson at 7:30 Wednesday night at Beckham Field. I think that's at Beckham Field. Yeah, that's SEC Network. The North Carolina baseball game is on ACC Extra, which is their streaming. So that's an ACC broadcast. Men's basketball, Eddie Shannon is out as an assistant coach. I can tell you that he won't be the only one, most likely. Also, I don't really expect very many players at all to return. And I think it's for the best. So I'll leave that at that. We can get more into that on the show later today because we've got football to talk about. All right. Gamecock. It was an eventful weekend for Gamecock football, especially from the recruiting aspect of it. Quickly, I got some notes on spring practice, kind of just some things we've already talked about here. We've talked a lot about the tempo and the offense, but had a couple of folks that got to watch a couple of practices this past week. And what they said stood out was it wasn't just that they were operating and getting lined up faster. The plays themselves are quicker, which I tell you, you know, you hope Carolina has a better offensive line. Like I said last week, every report I get on Jacarius Peak is the timeline kind of moves up a little bit. So we'll see how that ultimately plays out. But I do think that you don't want to trust that. I don't blame anybody for not trusting that they're going to be super duper up front just because it's tough to do that in the SEC. Hopefully they're better. But if you want something to combat that, quick, fast developing plays, which is a staple of Brow's offense, it's no surprise. That's going to be a welcome development for Carolina and for Lenora Sellers, frankly. I think he's just so much better when he's operating quickly than slowly. It doesn't give him, he just kind of reacts and goes. He's a very natural player. You know, it's not like he's out there doing unnatural things. It's unnatural for him to sit there and give a play way too long and then get sacked and stuff like that. You look at when he's been at his best, it's been line up and go. I thought, you know, the running part of it, like the Clemson game in 24 or the times, you know, he kind of got loose this past year. You know, that's one part of it. But if you want like a passing example, the Missouri game late, I mean, they were line up, go, line up, go, line up, go. And he's just better when he's doing that. And in the NFL, you know, they'll adjust that to fit him. You know, I think all the NFL training is complete for him and it's time to go produce. And the quicker they go and the faster they go, the better. And what you keep hearing about him from the new coaches is he processes things quickly. Well, okay, that's good because you have to in this offense. And so that was a promising little tidbit there. And then the defensive line, I heard, looks really good. Now you may get worried about the offensive line, right? But just from a size and depth standpoint and number of players that can play, the more I hear, including the most recent intel about Travion Robertson's group, the more kind of excited I get as just a guy that loves D-line. I mean, I love D-line, man. Edge is a little thin. You know, Dylan Stewart is a guy that they got to get back at some point. They have to kind of continue to work him. You know, his injury and stuff is going to take a little time to heal. It's not doing much, but I think, you know, if anybody doesn't really need a bunch of spring practice. It's probably a third year Dylan Stewart, and that's good. And it gives the other guys like Julian Walker and Caleb Herring and the new guys some reps, a lot of reps, you know, this spring for Deion Barnes and company. But the interior looks really good. And like I've said many times, I didn't think they were bad last year. I thought Mykel Goodwin and Nick Barrett played their best football, and that's what they needed. And you're going to need some guys to play their best football this year too. Gabe Brownlow Dindy, Tomiwa Durajaye. I finally got that name right. You know, Troy Pikes is a player. A lot of him. My man Deputy Smitty's fired up about him. I am too. Kelby Collins coming in from Alabama, before that Florida. You know, Jordan Thomas is a younger player coming over from Georgia, 6'5", 315, out of New Jersey, was a top 100 recruit they're trying to bring along. And then the exciting part, too, for me, is you keep hearing more and more about Aiden Harris, the four-star D-tackle freshman from Charlotte, and Noah Clark, another four-star from Durham, D-line heaven in North Carolina. Those guys are looking good. So, and again, practice is just to determine who's going to be playing for the Gamecocks. It doesn't mean they're going to line up and, you know, penetrate the backfield against Alabama and Tuscaloosa or Mississippi State in the SEC opener. You kind of hope they do against Kent and Towson, but and dominate the SEC. You know, you don't really know that until the games start, just to be honest. So everything I say in the offseason is just about who's good enough to go play. What's the depth chart looking like? Because that's what we talk about. You know, you want to know who's going to line up. Now, you can look at size and speed and talent and say, well, these guys should match up. But so much goes into it in a given Saturday that you just really have to wait and see on it. Not that we're not going to talk about it, because we definitely are. But that was encouraging. And both of those things sort of just reinforced what we've been hearing and what we know. And those are two critical things. Offense, getting it in, you know, you hear things, get it in gear. Well, you got to, this offense is going to gear up a little bit. And that's, I mean, I talked about the baseball win and how y'all deserve that. Y'all deserve an offense too, that looks like it knows what it's doing and is very intentional and attacking. How about that? Because the rest of the program is that way. And, you know, defense is that way, special teams are that way, culture's that way, strength programs that way, nutrition programs that way. It's a fun place to play, and we're going to get to recruiting here in a second. But then there's been nothing fun about the offense, or very little fun about the offense, except, you know, Spencer Rattler being a hero at times late in 2022. And then Lenore Sellers in 2024. Other than that, it's been like the rest of it looks great. And, you know, not that they're always dominant. Special teams have struggled. Times defense certainly has. But you get it. I hadn't been getting it on offense. I think you're going to get it now. And that's good. And it would be shocking to me if, not saying they're going to light up the scoreboard because it's the SEC, but it's going to be enough. It's going to make sense. You know, hopefully it's better than, I believe they put up more points than Oklahoma did last year. But, you know, you look at what that did for Oklahoma, bringing in Arbuckle, and he brought Mateer with him. Even though Mateer got hurt and kind of the air went out of the balloon, and they did struggle at times because they I don't think they fixed their offensive line, and their receivers were just kind of so-so, and backs. But they got to the playoff because they were so good on defense. Now, can Carolina be that good on defense? I don't know. I think they can get somewhere between this past year's defense and 2024. But you never know. It could be really good. But anyway, you know, I'm looking for them to put more points on the board than maybe Oklahoma did, because Oklahoma really started struggling late. But that elevated them, because that matters in football. And so you like to hear, hey, they look like they're doing things quicker. And this is a team, this is a roster at South Carolina this year that, and Beamer said it, and I mean, it's true, because you look at the times, the 40 times and verticals and things like that. It's athletic and fast. You know, we've seen some slow teams around here, Carolina. This is not one of them. So, and on offense, they have dudes that can run. So I'm very encouraged by that. So recruiting wise, Alex Jones from the Big Spur report that reported five-star Jaden Bryant from Irmo made a nice little visit over to Carolina. Committed to LSU. Sterling Lucas got him in. You know, Carolina, the idea there is to try to flip him. High school recruiting these days, you can flip. It's a little easier to flip, frankly, because of the portal and things like that. NIL money obviously is involved, but he's shot up the rankings pretty good here and gotten into the five-star range. 6'4", 270 defensive ends. He's a bigger end. I like guys like that. Could be a monster player and a priority in-state target for the Gamecocks. They're not. He's visiting June 12th officially, I believe, and so that's good. Will they flip him ultimately? I don't know. Seems like LSU a lot, but Jaden Bryant made it over, and he's going to make an official. Another edge, Abraham Cisse from Pennsylvania, Downingtown East. New Deion Barnes. Previously had a great visit in the process of setting up an official. That's good. Mikel Allen, a linebacker from Don Bosco up in New Jersey. He's going to make some visits. Texas A&M, Miami, Florida State, I think Illinois, Penn State's there. He's a big physical dude. 6'1", 230. Clayton White likes him too. So we'll see. I really feel good about where they stand with D tackle Josiah Fields, D line heaven, Charlotte, North Carolina, out of Corvin Community in Charlotte, 6'3 and a half, 250. Travion Robertson's recruiting him, had a fantastic visit. I like where they stand with Jackson Elston, the 6'4, 325 offensive guard from Oxford, Alabama. Carolina's recruited some guys out of Oxford. Britt, the linebacker that came in, is a Oxford guy. That's up in northern Alabama. Darren Usher has some connections there, I'm pretty sure. Darren's done a fantastic job, by the way. You look at all this talent that was there. And one side note, I did want to talk about this. I don't think anybody should get their hopes up. And it's a long way off. I mean, I feel very old. A 2030 quarterback, and you'll recognize the name, Marshall Manning, plays at the Baylor School in Chattanooga for Eric Kimry. And his dad, Peyton Manning, made an unofficial visit on Saturday. Darren Usher showed them around. They were in Rock Hill for a 7-on-7 and popped down to visit the University of South Carolina. Long way off for Marshall, but he's going to be a highly recruited guy. However, I think it's good. There was a picture, Gerald Kilgore took a selfie with Peyton Manning. And I heard Peyton was great on the visit. I heard Peyton was I actually really like Peyton Manning. I think, I've never met him before, but I know some people around the state of Tennessee where I used to work in Nashville that do know him, and they say he's just a first class good guy, and he was very impressed and grateful for the visit to South Carolina. So stick that one in your back pocket. Carolina did offer a 2029 quarterback, Bear Woods, the younger brother of Cutter Woods. Bear was a freshman this past year, was pretty special. Westside, he's at Westside and Anderson, plays for Coach Brian Lane. They were kind of struggling. He's a freshman quarterback, then he kind of got it together and they made the playoffs. They didn't go to the state championship game like they normally do, but freshman quarterback, and he's got some it factor about him, And then the more I hear about Cutter, the more I'm like, wow, these guys, the Woods brothers, could be a godsend for South Carolina if Bear Woods ends up being a Gamecock. But they did go ahead and offer. Don't blame them. Special player. There's a kid at Dillon too that's 2029. That's a really good quarterback as well. So keep your eye on those two in state. I normally don't like to get into younger players. I also did want to bring up one more 2029 freshman, Greer Nunnery, 6'3" and a half, 250-pound offensive guard slash tackle had a chance to watch his film over the weekend. Very good. He's at Dutch Fork. So keep an eye on him as an offensive lineman. If you're a recruiting nut and you're putting together your 2029 list of top in-state players, be sure you include Greer Nunnery. Likes the Gamecocks early, Georgia, App State, a lot of other schools. But he's got size, 74-inch wingspan right now. Mom is, from what I found out, mom's tall. Dad's tall. They've got he's got the genes, and he's got a little nasty streak about him. So I'm sure Randy Clements will like him. Possible camp guy for the Gamecocks this year. But Greer Nunnery is the – and I don't mind underclassmen in-state, I'll mention. But 2029, brothers and sisters, whew, that's it hit me like a ton of bricks. Yeah, that's kind of like when you're scrolling through Facebook and you see some of your – I mean, I saw like my little brother's ex-girlfriend's picture on Facebook over the weekend. And I'm like, wow, I remember her. She was younger. And I was like, goodness gracious. She's not that she's not, attractive anymore, but she's just aged. Wow. So anyway, that's more of a topic for the show. We're talking recruiting, right? And then finally, to wrap this up, and there are more visitors, and we'll get into all that, the show, and get into all that all this week. But a big-time target, if you're the Gamecocks, is Josh Dobson. Josh Dobson, I don't know why 24/7 Sports dropped him. Maybe they saw something they didn't like. Who the heck knows? He's still I'm still going to go with the composite rankings. He's still the 11th-ranked player in the country per 24/7 Sports composite. He's a corner. He was at Catawba Ridge last year in South Carolina. Crossed the border to go to Huff High School in Cornelius, North Carolina. Same place Smoke Matthews is at. He's in one LSU really likes, and he really likes LSU as well. But his visit could not have gone any better this past weekend. And he set an official for what we're dubbing Wing Weekend, the Cocky Hospitality, CB18, Chief Sports, whatever you want to call it, annual Wing Eating, Garnet Trust annual Wing Eating Contest. Is set for that weekend. We like to have it on a big recruiting weekend. And, some of those guys pop by and see the fans out there, and it's all that. We'll have more details about that coming up. But he's coming in for Wing Weekend. That'll be a big weekend. And if you kind of look at the defensive back class, right? So I think South Carolina's class of 2027 could be pretty strong at edge, D-line in general, especially edge. And in the secondary, because you've already got Amari Fountain, got to hold on to him, right? Gernard Albright, both top 100 guys. Then Josh Dobson's a 5-star guy, And so you're talking about loading it up. If you can get him, if you can hang on to him, there's no guarantees. It never goes exactly the way that we hope or think it will go in March. But certainly Carolina did all it could do there. I feel really good about where the Gamecocks stand with Dobson after that visit, but he'll take more visits, that's for sure, and you just never know. So, if you look at kind of what the Gamecocks need to accomplish, from my standpoint, within the state, if you still count Dobson as an in-state guy, he's a North Carolina kid now, but that's important, Dobson and Bryant – those are two of the very best in the country that you've been recruiting for years. You're going to have to flip Bryant. Dobson's got a lot of interest, but you're making up some ground there. Those two, Aiden Gibson or Trey Segura at running back are obviously important, maybe both. You've got some other guys, too, from within the state. Nate Carson, the offensive lineman from Irmo, who – Clemson feels good about, Tennessee feels good about, the Gamecocks feel somewhat good about him, so we'll see what happens from there. But certainly an eventful recruiting weekend. There'll be a lot of recruits coming in and out. But that was a big deal. It was a big deal. You had other guys like Frederick Ards from Orlando that were supposed to be in that we'll check on and things like that. I didn't confirm if he made it in, Freddie Ards or not, but we'll have updates throughout the week and on the show and all that good stuff. So anyway, that was an eventful weekend for the Gamecocks. Don't forget Monty Lee coming up, the interim head baseball coach at University of South Carolina with JB, and also a he won't act triumphant about this, but just from a personal standpoint, a good friend of mine and someone that I've worked with for almost 20 years now. He was the best man at my wedding, John Whittle. It had to be, just from a personal standpoint, after, you know, you write an article like that, first of all, Whittle's not going to write anything that's not true. That's just not how he rolls. If you think he would put some kind of propaganda out, you don't know John Whittle. However, you know, that's still sticking your neck out, right? And it had to be triumphant for him to break the news that Maneri was out. And he's not going to say anything about it. He's not going to brag, but I'm going to brag about him because, you know, he took a lot of crap from a lot of people that didn't want to accept the truth. And he stuck with it and kept his head down and kept working. And I admire people like that. Stood by his story, and it was all true, folks. And I don't know that Maneri not being here means that, that just tells you it's true or not, right? No, that's a separate thing. If Maneri had kept winning, you're still going to stand by that article because it really wasn't about winning or losing. But that kind of show, it kind of, I guess, was the flashlight under the house when you need to call an exterminator. Now, if your basement floods, call Resto Pros of the Midlands. But quick plug there. But just happy for him. You know, like I said, he's not gonna. He's a pro. He's not gonna brag about it and all that. But had to be happy. I mean, I'm just personally happy for him, and happy he broke the story too, because I like that. You know, I like to see people become triumphant when they do a good job and all that. So Whittle will be on Whittle on All Things, Meatloaf Monday on the show. We'll talk more recruiting, get into some of this, take some questions from the McKellar Enterprises chat box. Podcast up today, SEC Sunday night, had former Gamecock quarterback Jason Brown as a guest. That's a Gamecock-related thing, so check that out, SEC Sunday night on Apple and Spotify and Amazon Music. Please go subscribe to that podcast and rate it 5 stars. The Late Night Gamecock Show with Matt and Alex also will drop later today, podcast form. They had a great live show last night. March Madness, basketball, whatever you want to talk about, The Late Night Gamecock Show has it. Those are our Sunday night shows here on the Chief Sports Network. And then the newsletter, InsideTheGamecocks.com. Go sign up for it. We had a lot of good, some of this intel I was talking about today, you could have read about some of it yesterday in our newsletter. So InsideTheGamecocks.com website, got kind of a little bit more clarity on that over the weekend as well. May is the month, so we'll probably be back online, back on the message boards, back in the high life again in May. Sorry it's taken so long, but, you know, honestly, with this thing, it's kind of going to be, it's probably the last big thing I'm going to do in my career, and I want to make it great. And so sometimes you need a little bit more planning, and I guess you got to get in the right situation and all that. And I'm grateful that I've had this time away, because I think the more I move along, the more I look at the business and kind of have a step back from it, the clearer understanding I have as far as what needs to be done. And I'm excited about that. All right, folks, exciting weekend, by the way, in Gamecock land. And I know probably many of you are not as sick to your stomach about that after what happened over the weekend. But got another game tomorrow in North Carolina. That'll be good. Clemson in softball this week. The ladies play tonight in basketball. 8 o'clock tip against Southern Cal to go to the Sweet 16, where they could maybe get a revenge game against Oklahoma, who beat them in overtime out in Norman earlier this year. All right, folks, this has been Coffee with J.C. Sherbert. I'll see you on the show. Holla.